Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 4, episode 6. Buck and Lou are back. We are so close to the beginning of the Loyola Ramblers men's basketball season. We have an exhibition game in 2 days and then the real thing in what, eight days? Yeah, it's right around the corner. We're gonna break up the preview just a little bit over the next 2 weeks because we figured we want to talk about the newcomers first because I think that's kind of, you know, it's new to everyone and we'll help you all as well as us learn about the newcomers. And then next week after we've seen them play, we can talk a little bit more about like the guys that are returning and how they look different and who's going to be starting and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to split up over 2 weeks. In addition to that, this week we're going to talk about our Rambler alumni that are out in the world playing basketball abroad. See, just kind of check in on them a little bit, see how their seasons are doing. Lou, I know you miss our big boy Cam, so you know this one's for Crut, right?
I think we miss quite a few of them, but yeah, Cam definitely, especially, is the most recent one. So excited to see though former guys and guys being boosted up in social media. So I love seeing that. And again, the basketball Twitter is pretty good at kind of giving recaps. So we'll see stuff throughout the season like we do during the games. It'll give it like where are Ramblers now. So excited to see that, but also excited to start talking about some previews of the current team.
Yes, we are. Like I said last week, this is going to be the last episode for a long time where we don't have actual Loyola men's basketball games to talk about. So strap in and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. The first news item we want to talk about this week, I wanted to highlight an article from the Phoenix, which was by Zach Miller. And it was his column, an analysis of Loyola's secret scrimmage with Wisconsin. Just in case anyone else wants a little more coverage of that secret scrimmage before the season actually starts up, what he wrote was great. And plus, we really like the mention, of course. He mentioned our little catchphrase of big man minutes when talking about like Chris Knight and Tom Welch and Jacob Hudson. So just I think that's going to be our – we got to keep that phrase going now, Lou. I think we got to constantly be talking about the big man minutes. So I know that's no problem with you.
Yeah, I know. It's catchy, but come on. We lost a big man, and someone's going to have to step up. So I like it.
Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah, like I said, if any of our listeners want to go to give that a read, you can learn a little bit more about the game. Lou, I know you had something else you wanted to mention and talk about this week, so why don't you take it away?
Yeah, I saw we saw officially, because we kind of saw a sneak peek, but Jake Bauman was named Loyola's new director of player development. It was interesting because you and I did note, we saw him at the, kind of open practice walking around with a recruit and still, on campus. So, for a second there, I thought he was returning to play again. I was like, is he going to be here for another year? But he is here for another year, but not as a player anymore. So he'll be taking, the hole left by actually Clayton Custer was our last Loyola's director of player development. So kind of a new role in the last few years, kind of, you see the coaching staff getting bigger, or at least the administration staff of the team getting bigger. And it's kind of really interesting to see former players filling that role. Again, I think London Dukobu was one of the first Porter alumni players to fill a kind of coaching role. Then I believe you had Joe, I forget his name, but he played with London. He played a little bit of a role of helping the staff. So there's a lot of interesting things kind of keeping the connection. So Jake Bauman really fills that role after, I think, what, 8 years with the team, aka I think it's really five. he comes getting, I think, nearly two masters, maybe. He comes into the coaching staff, and I think he's a great great guy to have because he was a walk-on, and I think he had that energy to be a walk-on, and he was great on the bench. You could see But he's a veteran to the team. He knows what it's like to play here. He knows the competition. So he has insights to be like, yeah, I also, the funny thing is, Jake probably practiced as the opposing teams. So mm-hmm. he knows the opposing teams really well. So if there's ever help in practice, he can be there to help. So I really do think it's great to have players because they give an insight that all these coaches don't. And the fact that he's a recent graduate helps with the current times of what the school's team looks like. So I really like it. It's great. And it's always nice to see former players back on the coaching staff.
I was actually going to mention that with Jake, like I'm sure he was a part of the scout team, you know, most of the time, I would imagine. So that's just another guy to get into practice, give those guys a different look, you know, like defending a different type of player or what have you. So just happy to have Jake back, and we definitely wish him the best, and hopefully he has a good year and years to come with the Loyola program. So moving on from those two stories, the next thing we want to talk about is former Ramblers going abroad and playing professional basketball. The Loyola Ramblers website itself did have a great article about this 2 weeks ago, and we wanted to talk about it then, but we were kind of busy. There was other things going on to talk about, so I feel like now is a pretty good time to talk about it. The first one I want to talk about is Cameron Krawig, just because, you know, he's, I think, at the top of most Rambler fans' minds. He, as we've talked about before, is with the Telenet Giants in Antwerp. And so far, the team has done pretty good from what we can gather. I think they're like 5-2, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 5-2. They are toward the top. I think they're in second place, tied for second place in their standings. And they're just kind of starting some of their FIBA Cup play. They've played one game. So they're doing pretty well as a team. Krut, in and of himself, he is averaging around 20 minutes a game. 7.5 points, and he's leading the team in rebounds right at like 5. Doesn't really have very many assists, which makes me think that he's not really a focal, like, you know, playmaker of the offense, which is fine. You know, you're going to a different team. There's other guys, different playmakers, and he's probably just filling a different role for his team. So sounds like Krut is off to a good start, and we continue to wish him well, and hope that I know he's got a 2-year contract, so he should be there for another year after this. So good luck to him. It sounds like he's doing pretty well. Lou, anyone in particular you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, a guy that's been on my mind because I see similarities with some current new guys, but it's going to be Dante Ingram. I saw a really cool just tweet from kind of his management team, I guess, kind of giving highlights. And so it made us kind of look into, well, how are former Ramblers doing, at least for Dante? And it seems like he's doing well. He's not starting. He's with the Donner team. I believe officially they're out of Holland. I think the reason why we really want to talk about him is he's nearly traveled the globe. I believe over the summer he was in New Zealand toward the end of the June and July. And now you see him in like Holland. So he's getting playing minutes. So that's always good. Not a key kind of stat filler right away. But I do think he's getting enough minutes to get that flexibility of scoring. I believe I saw him put up at least 19 points the other night. I didn't see it. Sorry, I read on Twitter. The time difference definitely hurts from watching from the rafters, but I don't think I get that channel. But again, great to see him continue playing basketball. I think we've had really great success with former Ramblers, especially you and I were just talking about, like, Blake Schlieb fought his way to like each league, kept playing, and then all of a sudden he's on the Czech Republic team. So I think these guys can prove it, and I think they have the skill set to get out there and keep grinding. So great to see Dante not giving up. I really do like it. So happy to see that. And hopefully then, again, I think COVID messed us up. I think next year you'll see him on maybe a bigger, splashier team maybe, and getting stronger minutes. But I think it's great to see it still playing basketball.
Yeah, I agree. Similarly, a guy you could say has probably traveled the globe is Milton Doyle. He is now with a team in Turkey. And I was joking with Lou. I was reading like his bio, and I the name of the team and the name of the team they were playing a couple nights ago, or I guess it was a couple weeks ago. I can't. There's no chance I can pronounce either one of them, and I'm not gonna try. And I went to say Turkey, and Lou thought that was the word I couldn't say. On some days I probably can't pronounce Turkey very well, but either way. It sounds like Milt's doing pretty well. It's kind of similar to Krut, like 9 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, over a steal a game. So, you know, I think as he's kind of transitioned to being a pro, it seems like he has the ball in his hands a lot, especially when he's playing with like international teams, like over the pond. He seems like kind of a more of a playmaker. Not that he wasn't at Loyola, but I always saw him more as a shooting guard. And now it seems like he has really transitioned to be like that 6'4" kind of taller point guard. So maybe he's coming off the bench. I can't really tell. But it seems like he's getting some quality play. And I think he's another guy that, you know, a year from now we'll look at him and say, oh, wow, he's, you know, in Spain or something playing on one of the kind of bigger teams. Because at this point, I mean, he's almost a international veteran, you know, like he's been all around, including the G League and the NBA and TBT and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Milt doing pretty well for his team in Turkey. Lou, do you want to talk a little about Marcus? Or we kind of struggled to find stuff about him other than what was on the website.
Yeah, I believe Marcus has been jumping around. I think, again, he was in the last thing we saw was really kind of the TBT stuff. So that was
it says he's in Estonia now. That's what the article says. It says he's averaging 15 points and 4 rebounds. So I, you know, but other than that, we really couldn't find much. I thought we both thought we had seen stuff on Twitter or Instagram or something. It says, okay, so he helped his team in Estonia last year. This year he's playing in Lithuania. So, just kind of like similar, just kind of hopping around.
Yeah, I think you're going to notice, and I do would love to kind of go look back on this episode a year from now. Especially after the COVID year, guys not playing much, not getting time with some teams. I really do think getting a year under their belt, whatever team they can get on, will propel them into the next one. Now, guys like Cam, you said is a 2-year contract, or is it Milton?
Yeah, Cam.
Yeah, so most of these guys, I think, are probably going to be on 1-year contracts because even the teams don't know what they're planning to do. Cam, again, I think has he's young and has a more of a future with more time, while some of these guys have been battling, like you said, veterans. But I think next year I'd really like to see what this episode looks like a year from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Maybe we'll have to make a callback or a throwback or something next year and talk about these guys. And I'm sure, you know, by this time next year, there might be some more graduates who are playing internationally or stateside, you know, fingers crossed. So speaking of our guys, let's kind of transition here. Let's talk about some of the newcomers this year. So we're going to talk about the 6 newcomers, the 2 transfers from Ivy League, and then our 4 new freshmen. And just due to numbers, and we're going to also talk about Demezy Anderson, just because he played a little bit last year, but he kind of still is a newcomer. He's in the fact that he just really hasn't played for us all that much. We're going to just kind of talk about them. How our listeners get to know them and become more familiar with and how we think they might do this year. So the first one I want to talk about is Ryan Schweiger. I know that they actually both Schweigers. It's one pronounces their last name Schweiger and one is Schweiger. And I am not going to know the whole year. So I'm just going to call him Ryan or Big Bro, whichever one. Ryan is transferring in from Princeton. He played 3 years at Princeton and did not play at all last year because the Ivy League did not compete due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But in 2019-2020. He averaged 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and shot over 45% from the field, and he shot 37% from three. I believe he was the Ivy League Player of the Week at least once. I thought he was not an all-Ivy League player his junior year. So every year, kind of since freshman year, he's steadily increased his production. He started off as a freshman around 3 points a game. His sophomore year, 7.5 points a game, to his junior, 10.5 points a game. And he's kind of always sat around like the same, like very similar field goal percentages, kind of like that 45-47% from the field, 36-37% from three, at least his last 2 years. So we met Ryan kind of sort of at the introduction, the open practice. And I personally really liked what he brought to the scrimmage. He's kind of one of those guys that you're not always watching, but I think it's for a good reason. Like, I think he just kind of, it's like an offensive lineman where, like, if you're not saying his name, he's probably doing something pretty good. Like, he's just boxing out or setting screens or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you get, you know, he'll score 7 points on you in three possessions. And you're like, oh, where'd he come from? Coach Drew described him as he's just a bucket. Like, he just goes out and he scores. But I'm hoping to see a little bit more from him. I think he can score, and I really want to see how he can rebound, because I think it's going to be important that all of our guys rebound. He's 6'7". You know, he's got some height. Looks like he's pretty athletic. So I really want to see him get out there, fight for some boards, dive on the ground for some loose balls. I think he's kind of similar to Tate Hall a little bit. I think they have their own pros and cons for sure, but they're just good scorers, like, when it comes down to it. So, yeah, Lou, I don't know if you want to just offer like some thoughts on Ryan, and we can go back and forth then.
Yeah, I think with Ryan, it's really just going to be, for me, one of the toughest things is that where he fits in right away. Because I think it's just going to be one of those things, like you said, you kind of compare him to Tate, and I think that's nearly a spot on comparison. Also, about when I talk about where is he going to fit in, Tate last year started then didn't start. So I really think it's just going to be like, where can he find his time? Now the tough thing is Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, has only got a year. So, we don't have really, we can figure it out next year. Or, like, we're slow to it. Like, I think Ryan's going to try to go fast paced, jump on the ground just like Tate and be his own guy, because I think he's like, hey, this is my last year. I'm going to ball out as many times as I can. And I would appreciate that. And I think he's that type of guy who can, because you and I saw, at least in the open scrimmage, and we'll see hopefully this week, he can bring a different type of tempo than we expected. I didn't really expect that. I just expected a lanky shooting guard. And no, I think I'm getting a good stretch, a good 2-3 small four. Like, you're getting a good position guy who I think could tear it up in the Valley.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and just to kind of put a bow on it, I think he's going to get every opportunity right out of the gate. Like, being that he's an upperclassman and produced already in the Ivy League, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities at the beginning. And if he doesn't, like, you know, if he doesn't play very well, then I think there's a few other guys, younger guys, that will just fill in for him. So I'm excited to see him. But Lou, you can take it away and talk about another guy if you want.
How about I'll just jump into another Ivy guy, and kind of they came in nearly a pair. I think they almost committed to us within the same month or within a month. And that's going to be Chris Knight. I'm actually very excited for Chris Knight after seeing the open practice. Came in and I was worried in the beginning initially, because I thought Drew would want to do this kind of small ball offense. I don't know what type of offensive coach he is. I know he's kind of big with the defense, but offensively, I didn't know what his mindset was. And Chris Knight could definitely fill a small ball, because I think he played center at the Ivy Leagues, but I don't think the Valley is really great for a small ball team. I really think you kind of get beat up with that. But in watching an open practice, I think he reminds me of Andre Jackson, and I really like that comparison. I'm not saying he's going to do what Andre did. I think Andre played his own style. I loved his fakes and up and unders. but I think he can fill that like kind of power forward role, but a very athletic and quick power forward. And he can beat off, he can beat and like beat guys to the basket. He can really just be strong, but also quick. And he, I could have been wrong. I'm pretty sure we saw him shoot a few threes. So he's not afraid to put it up. So I don't think he's as athletic as Ahir. I'm not going to say he's the most athletic, but I think he's also a strong, because he's played so much time at center that he can know how to like post moves. I really do think he could excel there. And I hope that's where he excels, because I really could see a strong year there from him. So that's where, like, again, I hate comparisons that I know they do in the NBA, but just to give our listeners and ourselves kind of a quick, where do we think he fits, is kind of an Andre Jackson type of role of, hey, you can get to the rim and make a move. And you can kind of almost fit a lot of small ball, then he could play big. So different scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. He's definitely undersized. I think that's like an important piece to remember. He's not like a typical center, but neither was Andre Jackson, and he was super effective in what he did.
No, and he played center something. Like when we went small, he was a center, which blew my mind sometimes. So yeah,
I'm definitely a little bit more, I would say, skeptical of Chris Knight. Not that I don't think he's a good kid, good player, whatever. You know, I never want to question that. I just like, I don't know. I'm a little bit more hesitant on how he fits in with our squad. If he can stretch the floor and shoot, you know, a lick, then I think that's super helpful. I want to see him. I'm just excited to see him play more. I want to see how he boxes out. I want to see how he's able to like alter shots, maybe be a little bit of a shot blocker, or like how he, like his post moves. So there's just a lot I want to see from him. And, I'm excited. I'm probably going to get the opportunity to do it really soon. I think he's going to get a pretty good opportunity to play it. Just from the scrimmage, I don't know if it's going to be a ton, but I'm sure we'll probably find out a little bit more this week, and especially weeks to come. So I'm excited to watch him. Any last thoughts on Chris Knight?
No, not really. We said it all, I think.
Cool. Next one, I'm going to talk about Lil Bro, a.k.a. Ben Schwager. So Ben comes from Illinois. He went to high school at Waubonsie Valley, actually kind of close to where I grew up. I played a lot of games against Waubonsie Valley. I was a four-year volleyball player. And interestingly enough, Ben Schwager was a two-sport athlete and played volleyball at Waubonsie Valley. So in a different life, maybe we compete against each other in volleyball. But this isn't a volleyball podcast. It's a basketball podcast. Ben held some offers from especially like Illinois schools, UIC, IUPUI, Southern Illinois. So kind of similar level schools. He committed pretty early. He was actually the first of the three of our freshmen to commit last year. He was a three-star athlete on 247 Sports. In high school, he increased his scoring average from 3.2 as a sophomore to 16.4 as a junior. And then during his shortened senior season from COVID, he did average 17 points, 8.5 rebounds, almost 4 assists, and then a block and a steal. I watched a lot of his, well, not a lot, as I think like maybe a handful or three of his games during that COVID year, during the senior year. And what I remember from watching him was that his team wasn't very good. Like, I hate to say that, but like, he was obviously like far and away the best player, and every team was trying really hard to stop him from playing well. And I think, you know, for Ben, where he has good ball handling skills, but he's not like Marquise Kennedy or T.Y. Johnson or Braden Norris or whatever. Like, he's not always taking the ball up and down the court. I think he kind of at times like struggled to make his own shots. So that's something like I'm hoping that he is able to work on, because I think he already has the whole like role player down. Like, his catch and shoot game was pretty well. His fast break game was exceptional. Dude is just like an athlete. Like, he's bouncy. He's going to block shots if he can stop, you know, stay away from fouling people. I think he has the ability to block some shots. So I would say that from the scrimmage or the open practice we saw, he was the most surprising for me personally. Like, I just didn't expect him to be, like, ready to play at all. I kind of thought maybe there was a chance they might redshirt him this year. But he was scrappy. He looked like he kind of looks like a – I hate to say this, but he looks like a Porter player. Like, he just looks like a – you know, he's got the length. He's got the size. He's got – it looks like he dives on the ground. He can shoot. So I'm excited to see what Ben has to offer. And of the three freshmen, the three scholarship freshmen – he's the one that I have like absolutely no expectations for. So he could potentially, I think, surprise most. So Lou, Ben Schweiger, what's your thoughts on him?
I think he might be, just clogged, with a handful of kind of situations. So I think that's just what it's going to be. Do I say he should redshirt this year? No, it's not a bad idea. But again, I don't think Drew or anyone, or even I at the end of the day would say that just because, just for injury's sake and in the Valley, I think he could be explosive. So I really do think he's got, especially a large potential after this year with Tate being gone, with Big Bro being gone, with Ahir being gone. So there is that really strong potential for that kind of quick guy to get to the rim. And I do think he can add a lot, but I don't know. There's just a lot in the way, and I'm not saying it's his fault or anything. It's just, it's hard for me to see a lot of playing time, but who knows? We'll see in these coming weeks. And again, we're guessing at this point, some of these things, but we're also just from the open practice, it was kind of clear that there's kind of a set go-to group of guys.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Lou, go ahead. Who do you want to talk about next?
Yeah, so for me then, starting off with like my first freshman to talk about, I'll take good old St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. A guy that was really late in the recruiting, I think we've said this a lot. It was, if we want to say officially, Drew's first recruit as head coach. But I do think Drew was part of every guy who's joined the team because he was also an assistant coach the previous year. So he knows all the guys that he's on the team, so he's not – this was one of his first guys. It was really funny. One side note, during the open practice, he said he didn't realize how tall St. Thomas was because he only had talked to him over FaceTime, and he didn't meet him until he came to campus. Very interesting to see. You see there's some connection there. Drew really, I think, has high hopes for St. Thomas. We did see in the secret scrimmage on the box score, we saw he had a minute or two at most. But I think that might've been Drew just saying, hey, I want you to get out there and play against these guys or see it. We don't know. We don't know when he went in, but, I think it's just getting familiar and getting his mind ready, because I think the main thing you can see with St. Thomas, and again, I think I'm almost going to call him Dante, not only because he's zero, but I think of just how he plays and the athleticism he has. But, I think Drew's hope is that if there is a need for him to play, he wants him to be ready. Like if someone goes down or if someone's out for a while, like he doesn't want to have to spend time having St. Thomas, oh, I need a few games to get comfortable. No, he wants him to be in live situations. And I think that's where it goes. St. Thomas' ceiling for me, I don't have a limit, or I just think it's open because he's a freshman. And I think he's an interesting freshman that we grabbed late in the recruiting process. And I think he's just going to gradually get better and better like he did with his recruitment. I think he bloomed toward the end in high school, and I think he's just on the track to get even better.
Yeah, me too. I think one of the things you touched on, like his potential, I think he has the highest potential of like any of the newcomers. He's just like, he's got the size, he's got the quickness. He played on a really good team in high school. He knows how to play with other good players, which I think is kind of an underrated thing. And maybe this is not a great comparison, but one of the guys that I always think of when I talk about that is Paxson Wojcik, where you could just put him in there and he's going to be good. Like, he's going to be reliable. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to go out and get you 25 points, but that's kind of what I think is like St. Thomas's floor. like the least, but he's at least going to be a very good role player. But I also think he has the opportunity to truly be a star in the Valley. Like, I'm talking like first team all Valley, not this year, but maybe next year, maybe the following year. I just think he really has the potential to be that good. I think he's kind of got the body and the size and the athleticism. He's probably one of the best like pro prospects we've had in a while. Like I think, you know, when I'm talking about pro prospects, you know, someone like Marquise Kennedy is similar, right? Like he's got that quickness. Or I think of like Donovan Clay as someone being someone who is like that pro prospect. And it's just a matter of like if you can put it together. So I'm rambling, but I like St. Thomas a lot. And I'm interested to see what he does. And I think he's got to work through some struggles at the beginning here. And hopefully he's good to go. So if you're cool, I'm going to move on to T.Y. Johnson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, T.Y., another our last of our scholarship freshmen, incoming freshmen. He's from Chicago. He went to DePaul Prep. He is a guard. He's 6'3". He averaged 20 points his senior year. He also was a first-team Chicago Catholic League pick as a junior, and I think was also on that team as a senior if they did it. I'm not sure if they actually did it. But one of my favorite T.Y. Johnson, like, I guess, facts was his high school team, DePaul Prep, was in the Chipotle Clash of the Champions tournament in this past season as a senior. High school basketball in Chicago works, there's like multiple leagues, right? So like, you know, the biggest schools are the best conferences. And TY is like, DePaul Prep is not really in the best conference. It's kind of in the middle. And so his team went to this tournament with like Whitney Young, Simeon, Bryce Hopkins' team. I forget where he went, but it doesn't really matter. Another really big school. And T.Y. Johnson went and beat all these teams. I mean, he had some help. He has a couple other pretty good teammates, but went out and beat these teams and led them to a tournament championship. And they wouldn't play these teams if it like weren't for this tournament. So that's like how the different skill levels go. So I just really like that. I remember watching some of it, and he played super well. He is a slasher to downhill sort of guy, very athletic, very quick. I think he's working on his smoothness, if that makes sense. I think he can kind of maximize his, like, especially his height. I mean, 6'3 is pretty good size for a point guard. So I think he's got to learn how to use his body and absorb contact and find ways to get to the hoop. But he's got a great base. I actually think, like, of the three freshmen, he's probably got the highest floor, like, right now. Like, I think he can be a solid point guard in our league, like, right now. But I think he's got a lot of growth to come into this year and the following few years. So it's always great to have another Chicago guy on the team. And they call him, apparently, Drew was saying, they call him Prime. Because his favorite player is D Rose, and he loves like Prime D Rose, so they call him Prime. So I think that's a fitting nickname. Lou, what do you have to say about T.Y. Johnson?
Only thing is, for me, I think he's got a lot of talent that was kind of interesting to see in that Chipotle Classic. Interesting three, but quick to try to push the ball up and tempo it. I just think the only potential issue for me is that depth. And I don't think it's just he's going to learn a lot from guys like Braden, from Keith, from Marquise. He's guys got in front of him who played ball, who held the kind of general spot with the ball as the head point guard. So I'm going to be intrigued to see if he can learn from them and pick it up, because I do think you could have a good combo like Keith and Braden have with Marquise and T.Y. maybe. Like, that could be something that really works out with having two strong point guard. So a lot to learn. I think he can easily grab that a lot this year. So I'll be very excited to see.
Yeah. The other like small thing. So he was involved in a shooting before this year, this past summer, where he actually was struck by a bullet. And we talked about it when it happened, but I just wanted to bring it back up just to remind everyone. And it looks like he is completely healed from that. Whatever, you know, we didn't really get any details. We don't really need to see any details or hear any details. But I just want to remind everyone that if they're wondering, like, who that player was, it was T.Y. Johnson. So really, really great to see that he avoided, like, you know, serious injury. Why don't we tackle the last freshman here, and then we can move into Demezi if you're cool with that. I have a little thing about Will Smythe.
Yeah.
So Will Smythe comes from Rochester Hills, Michigan. He is 6'4". He is the walk-on that they picked up this year. And you know, with walk-ons, you don't expect them to play all that much, but if you're going to get a walk-on, you might as well get one who has a really excels at one skill very much. And that Will Smythe definitely does. And that one thing for him is shooting threes. He scored a career best 40 points and drained a staggering 12 three-pointers in a victory over Ferndale, which at the time was the number 6 team in the state. So, sounds like he's got a little bit of a knack for hitting big shots. I wanted to kind of bring that up. I think that's a really cool thing. He helped St. Mary's to a Division I regional championship his senior year. He was Detroit News' All-State and All-Catholic League honors. As far as walk-ons go, it sounds like we got a good one in Will Smythe. Lou, I don't know if there's too much else to say about him, but if you want, you can kind of start talking about Demezi.
No, not much for Will. I'm happy to have him. I think he looked happy at the open practice. But I think to get into not a controversial new player, but is he new? Is he not new? I'm grouping him as new just because I think we have confirmation that he can play a full year and that he looks like he hopefully will, especially coming back from this interesting foot surgery. But it's Demezi Anderson. I've been actually very excited and hoping for this. So just for flashback, yes, we did see Demezi Anderson last year in some playing capacity, but then he didn't really play toward the end of the year. So from what we have, he played in 4 games. And in all 4 games, it was very, very much a reserve role. I think the biggest one was when he scored 5 points and in this first game, and that was against the St. Francis. And then he came into the Illinois State game. I think the Missouri State game, he also got a few minutes. It wasn't really much of a season, let's be fair. But the biggest thing is I think he has a potentially large upside in the Valley, being 6'7". So in talking about it, I want to talk him as a new player. For those who don't remember, he was the 92nd player in the country by 247 back in 2018. And then he went to University of Indiana for 2 years, or Indiana University down in Bloomington, Big Ten school and everything. Played there 2 years. Didn't really get much playing time. And then coach leaving and everything. So then he transferred to Loyola. Last year he didn't sit out. He kind of got waived. And so he didn't play. So right now we're looking at hopefully he's got 2 years left, maybe 3. Again, I'm going to say 3 only for the fact that he only played 4 games. I think he does get like a waiver year for only playing 4 games. I think the NCAA has like something at like 7 or 8. I just remember looking into a few years ago with Lucas being injured, but yeah, a lot of upside. I'm personally very excited. I don't know what Drew has for him. I'm hoping to see that Wednesday potentially at the kind of exhibition game, but we'll see. I think it's very interesting that he will have potentially more time than a lot of the other kind of senior guys. And he is a senior in his own right. He's been in the league in the NCAA for quite some time now. A lot of upside, a lot of questions there too. I'm not going to deny that. There's a lot of questions. What role is he going to fill? But I need to see him more play like go lives. And once we can see that, I think we can potentially see his fit into this roster. And not only does he look good with a 35, I think last time we saw 35, he fit pretty well with the team. So I'm hoping it's a continuous thing with the number.
Yeah, here's my biggest thing for Demezi. I hope he has a like very specific role. And whatever that role is, if he's playing 4 minutes or 14 minutes or 20 minutes, like I just hope that whatever role he has is very consistent, because this, I think he needs that. Like after going to Indiana and having this like weird where he's like such a top recruit, but he's not playing and he's not really getting the opportunity. And then again, his sophomore year and then last year just being that weird year that it was, he just needs like some consistency. And I do think that there is a role for him on this team. I'd like to see him. I mean, he's the same size. Like we have so many 6'7" guys and he's in that category. I want to see him be big. The dude is very muscular. I remember from some of the tape I watched, he's actually a really good passer for his size. It doesn't like, I don't, you know, just looking at him, I've seen him run around the gym, he doesn't really look like it. But when, if you watch him play a game, like he's always looking for that other pass, for that open guy, for that swing pass. Like he's a very gifted passer. So I think that's one of those things where I hope that we're watching him and our listeners, you know, they're like, oh, well, what a nice pass. Oh yeah, that's right. Buck said he's a really good passer. But he's also a really good scorer. And I hope he can kind of get consistent minutes. I hope he gets the opportunity to shoot from three because he has a nice shot and it never caught at Indiana. I think this is one of these guys you're going to have to give him a little bit of a leash when it comes to shooting threes, because I think like once he starts hitting, it's going to be gold. So he is another guy that's just in that category of like you said, Lou, like, oh, we got to give him some time. We got to see him on the court before we can really make a decision. The only other guy we were kind of going to talk about, but then I personally don't put him in this section of the podcast, is Tom Welch. I know, Lou, you kind of wanted to talk about him. I just think that this is his third year now with the team. And I think he's a good player. So I don't know. I want to save him for next week.
We're gonna do that. It's fine. I think we're just gonna, after what I saw, if I'm gonna be honest, after what I saw in the open practice, I just think that's why, right? So that's my only thing. But again, maybe we'll see how the season goes. Things can change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, cool. I don't know. I think that kind of does it for us. Lou, do you have anything else to talk about? Any, you want to thank anyone this week, or, I don't know. Do you have your Grammy speech written yet?
Actually, you know what? I will say I'm going to thank the ticket office for giving us our, season tickets are in. So if those listeners, if you haven't gotten yours, please get it. We got our season tickets. We got our two little cards. That we're going to put in our wallets and not forget them. I'm excited about that. And I guess I've been hearing some construction noise going on. Hopefully those seat backs are put in for everyone to get more comfortable. But excited to see that. Excited to see. I think we saw news about how to enjoy the games and stuff. So excited overall. And I think we'll have a lot more next week after the exhibition game. Kind of the rest of this roster we want to talk about. And again, hey, we'll be one day closer to live basketball counting for this year.
Yeah, this time next week, it's going to be crunch time. The game's going to be coming up real quick. So, I think that's going to do it here from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening. And always forget. Oh, no, I messed it up. Never forget. Always remember. Go Blurs.